Tar Heel football team ranked number 21 in the nation after beating Pittsburgh last week. It was a crazy week for college football. If Duke had managed to beat Miami, they would have been ranked heading into the UNC-Duke game this weekend. Would have been the first time since 1939 that both teams would have been ranked. But some things happened there at the very end of the game. Miami came away with the win. There was a dispute. Officials have been suspended, but the win stands for Miami and the loss stands for Duke. So they're out of the top 25. Tar Heels likely going to be favored heading into that one. To talk about that and much more, Deb Stroman joins us now from the UNC Kenan Flagler Business School. Thanks for joining us today.
I'll tell you, Aaron, my heart is still racing from all the amazing things that happened this weekend in sports.
My heart is still racing from the Michigan-Michigan State game like 3 weeks ago. And I was reading, I don't remember who it was, I think it was on Yahoo Sports earlier this weekend, that every single week since then, there's been an even crazier play at the end of the game to top the week before. You had the botched punt for Michigan-Michigan State right at the last second that led to a touchdown. Last week, you had Georgia Tech returning a blocked field goal 75 yards to win a game at the last minute. And then this week, Miami-Duke. I don't know what tops that this week, but apparently we're going to see.
Well, I think we all better strap in, I'll tell you. And this is why we love sports. And this is the type of stuff that spills over into your general news cycle. Everything from, now we're talking about compliance and policy, and of course the crazy dollar amounts that we're talking about, especially over an ACC Coastal football game, not even for the national championship or anything, but it just has people just so interested in helping to, I guess, fill the gaps during your day. You know, if you're out on a trip or something and you just want to take a little peek at what's going on in the world of sport, or if you're at your desk all day, you want to stop and pause and just giggle and laugh about the crazy things that can happen.
What is the craziest thing you've ever seen in sports?
I'll tell you, Aaron, that game, that eight lateral game, that was close to it. I just jumped up completely from my chair and just could not believe what was happening. But that has to be one of the craziest things. And, of course, my heart has been ripped out a few times being a Minnesota Vikings fan.
Oh, yes.
And I don't even want to repeat those type of games, like Brett Favre throwing that pass across the middle. And we lost that game to New Orleans, and certainly we were going to be in the Super Bowl. That's what all Vikings fans will tell you that year. But, you know, there's so much to talk about with this Miami-Duke game. But one thing I just want to point out is that some people would argue that no single play determines a football game. There were over 159 offensive plays run in the game, and any one of them could play some role. And, of course, if we talk about overturning the call and giving the game to Duke, now you open up a really, really strange compliance or oversight of college sport. And I don't know that people really want to go down that path.
Speaking with Deb Stroman, UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, and I got to say, I'm a Lions fan, so at least you guys make the playoffs from time to time. We're still waiting for that second win. So that was this past weekend. This weekend, we've got the Tar Heel game against the Blue Devils, and this is now not just a rivalry game, not just homecoming, but also a game with major implications for both teams, especially UNC. They're looking at a Coastal Division championship if they get that win.
That's right. Now the Tar Heels, by having that great win, which was just a great showcase for UNC football Thursday night, national TV, now we're ranked number 21. The game is now sold out. It's the Victory Bell game. Carolina is in the driver's seat. I think Miami definitely is motivated and not sure how they're going to play at home versus Virginia, but definitely when they come up to Chapel Hill, they're going to try to make a statement. But I think this motto that they're using, I've got your back, Coach Fedora has really charged up the leaders of this team, and they have a very, very good chemistry going. I have a quote from Coach Fedora. He said, "You can correct mistakes on offense, defense, and special teams. You can't correct a locker room. These guys are the ones who have to do that. We have a really good group of leaders on this team." And I think that's really, really being demonstrated, certainly since the South Carolina game. You can see the leadership on this team. They are gelling and they are pulling for one another.
Well, that game's coming up in just a few days, and we're all looking forward to it. Let's go up a level to Major League Baseball. World Series wrapped up last night in typical fashion for the New York Mets. They were up 2-0 on Kansas City in the top of the ninth inning, gave up 2 runs, and ended up losing the game 7-2. So congratulations to the Royals, world champions for the first time since 1985. But this poses an interesting question, because the player at the center of it last night was former UNC star Matt Harvey, who was pitching incredibly well for 8 innings for the Mets. He had held the Royals to, what, just a couple of hits and no runs, and begged his manager to let him go out and pitch in the top of the ninth inning, and seemed to be an okay decision, but he went out having pitched 8 innings and ended up giving up a couple of runs. Mets ended up losing. So tough break for Matt Harvey, who's pitched amazingly well all year long, led the Mets, got the start in game one, pitched all right, pitched extremely well last night, and just a tough break for him. But it begs that question, and this is something that's come up for managers before: A, how long do you leave a player in the game, and B, at what point do you listen to the player when they say, as they inevitably do, coach, put me back in, and at what point do you have to tell the player, no, I'm taking you out?
Well, this really opens up a lot of angles in terms of the management of sport. And so you've got a coach that makes, he doesn't make a lot of money in the world of sport when you put it in perspective. Terry Collins makes about somewhere between $1 million and $1.5 million per season. And he has the pressure to win right away. There's no doubt, there's no secret in that in New York. And so for 8 innings, you know, Harvey went strong. He was dueling, in fact, out-dueling Valquez. But between the fans screaming, "We want Harvey, we want Harvey," and then Collins, in fact, he even stated it, that he let his heart get in the way of his gut. He let Harvey go back out there. And, you know, the Royals player hit a run-scoring double, and the rest is history. And so we start questioning now. You're the one who's in charge of this ball team. You're the one who's supposed to be composed. You're the one who's supposed to use the analytics or the numbers to see what is the best thing to do. You have an ace. You know, you've got players who are built for, you know, one inning or three out shows, and yet he decided to go the other way. I think this is something that's just going to eat at the Mets. Three times in this particular World Series, they held a lead with just a handful of outs from winning the game, and then three times they lost. So I think there's going to be a lot of soul searching. No doubt they could come back. That's what Royals did from last year. But I don't know, in terms of the management, whether or not this call will really hurt Terry Collins in the long run.
I heard that quote from Terry Collins about, "My heart got in the way of my gut," and my first immediate reaction was, "Oh, well, you were screwed from the get-go, because your head didn't even enter into the decision." This reminded me, that decision to leave Matt Harvey in, reminded me of the call from 12 years ago now, God, in 2003, in Game 7 of the ALCS between the Yankees and the Red Sox, when it was Grady Little, right, who left Pedro Martinez in the game with a 3-run lead. Pedro Martinez, the ace for the Red Sox, he'd been strong all game, wanted to come back in. He came in and, or did he come back? They brought him in as a reliever, didn't they, something like that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And after having pitched the day before, he'd pitched strong. They brought him in as a reliever and immediately blows the lead, and the Yankees end up winning. And the next year, the Red Sox won the World Series, but they did it with a different manager. Grady Little lost his job because of that.
Well, that is a great point and a great memory on that. It also makes you think
I was
about
in a room full of very strong partisans on both sides, so it was a memorable moment.
Certainly. Now you bring into question the pitching arm. What is the length? How long can a pitcher throw? And it, certainly for youth sports, in particular baseball, we're doing pitch counts, right? And so in the professional sports, we do pitch counts. Now, certainly the energy is flowing. You definitely think that you can go out there, you can get one more throw. Should you let your medical team make the decision on something like this? As in, yes, the person has a lot of energy, they're fired up, but still, it makes more sense to bring in someone who's rested and their arm is physically ready for the moment. Who knows where the answer will end up? I know in some of the other sports, in particular with college sports, the medical team has been given the authority to rule over the head coach. With professional sports, I still think it's debatable, and oftentimes we see some players who get injured, when really they should have been on the sideline watching.
And that was certainly the issue for Matt Harvey for the last couple of months. All right, we're speaking with Deb Stroman, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School, and we got to let you go. But before we do, back to UNC football. They're taking on Duke this weekend. Not going to get a chance to talk to you until next week. So what is your call for this game?
Well, even though Duke really is going to come into Keenan Stadium ready to show that they are the true champion of the coastal side, that they are going to right the wrong, I just believe that the Tar Heels, with those extra days of rest, they've been able to scout the particular play of Duke, and they are very strong, especially that running back for Duke. He's just a very, very determined athlete. Just watching him in the second half of the Miami game just bulldoze through the Miami defense. I really think the Tar Heels are going to make a very sound W, and I'm talking about at least three touchdowns. I think the momentum's going to be there. Marquise Williams is going to play great. I think the taller wide receivers for the Tar Heels are going to make great plays, and I think more than anything, Gene Chizik is going to show his value, and our defense is going to play great.
You heard it here first. Blowout this Saturday. Deb Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.